Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 18th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2008. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, "All you who are thirsty, come to the water. All you who have no money, come, receive grain and eat. Come without paying and without cost. Drink wine and milk. Why spend your money for what is not bread, or your wages for what fails to satisfy? Heed me, and you shall eat well. You shall delight in rich fare. Come to me heedfully. Listen, that you may have life. I will renew with you the everlasting covenant, the benefits assured to David." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. The Lord is good to all, and compassionate toward all his works. The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. The eyes of all look hopefully to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. The Lord is just in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, what will separate us from the love of Christ? Will anguish, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? No, in all of these things we conquer overwhelmingly through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor present things nor future things, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowds, so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have here." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us this week. My name is Deacon Brian, and I'm flying solo today. Don, unfortunately, is on a retreat with the youth from the parish at St. Mary, and they're doing a service-based retreat where every day they're doing a different service project. And unfortunately, because of that, she was unable to record the podcast with me this week. So you're left with just myself, but hopefully I can break these readings open a little bit, and not as much as if I had Don here, but definitely somewhat, and hopefully you'll find something useful from this podcast and something to think about as you look at the scriptures and hear them again at Mass this weekend. One of the things that struck me right away was the reading from Isaiah where we hear this command to come without paying and without cost, to drink wine and milk, and that we shall have this life within us from that. And of course, I think that really does encapsulate what our faith teaches us about God, and in many ways the readings today are very sacramental, especially the first reading in the Gospel, where we come with our money or anything to buy eternal life or to even to buy food or something that will perish. But what we come with is we come as ourselves and we get what God gives us. We're fed by the food that God provides us with. In many ways, that happens at the Eucharist, not just physically the feeding, but we're fed spiritually on the Word of God, but also in really in all of our sacraments, we come before God in hopes of receiving something from Him and something that has some kind of a lasting power, whereas food itself, as Isaiah points out, it fades away. You have to eat every day, otherwise you get hungry. And with God, it doesn't quite work that way. It should be that we're constantly nourished and we don't need to go out and work some more so that we can have more food. Of course, we should want to continually be receiving more and more grace from God, but it's not something that we have to continually labor for in order for God to give it to us. It's something that flows freely. And then again, we have the gospel passage where Jesus is with a bunch of a large crowd, it says, and his disciples, and they're in a deserted place. And the disciples, after a while, say, "Gee, Jesus, it's getting a little late. Don't you think we should send these guys off and perhaps allow them to eat?" And Jesus' response is kind of typical of a lot of the things that Jesus would say. It's something unexpected. He says, "Why don't you just feed them yourselves?" And the disciples, of course, the first thing they say is, "Well, what do we have to give them? We don't have enough to feed this crowd." And then we have something that's very symbolic of the Eucharist here, because what we have is Jesus says to bring him the loaves, he blesses the loaves, he breaks the loaves, and he gives them. And those are the three words that we talk about in the sacrament of the Eucharist, is the bread, the bread is blessed. So that's the first thing. The priest blesses the bread and the wine or the gifts. He breaks the bread and then he gives it. Those are three important actions that you'll see in every Eucharistic celebration, and they're meant to relate back to this passage in Scripture, which is also a foreshadowing of the Last Supper, in which those same three words are used: the blessed, broke, and give. And it's essential elements we say for the sacrament. And we got to think about those three words because I think they are important in both in terms of symbolism, but also in terms of our faith. The blessing, of course, is something where, we offer praise to God and ask God to bless the gifts that are before us in the Eucharist. There's a prayer called the Epiclesis, and it's when everybody is kneeling. And for those of you who attend a Mass where I'm at, a deacon always kneels at the Epiclesis and then stands up right afterwards. And that's where the Holy Spirit is invoked at that point. And the priest asks the Holy Spirit to come down upon the gifts so that they can be brought up to the table in heaven. Then there's the image of the breaking of the bread. And this, there's a lot of symbolism with involved, that image of breaking. One is that if we do believe that the Eucharist, and we should believe that the Eucharist is the body of Christ, it's the brokenness of the body of Christ. Both Christ's physical body was broken. We have that. We see that obviously on the cross and in the scourging and all of that that happened in the Passion. We see the physical body of Christ being broken quite literally. Throughout the scriptures there. But also, the body of Christ that exists as the church is also a broken body of Christ. We aren't perfect. The church is not perfect. It never pretends to be perfect or says it's perfect. It says that it has the Holy Spirit, it has the fullness of truth, it's been given grace and has a special status, but it is made up of people who, quite frankly, are sinful people. And in that sense, the body of Christ is broken. We aren't the idealized body of Christ or the glorified body of Christ while we are here in this earth and in this church. So one of the things that I think that we can take from this is really see that symbolism of our own brokenness as the body of Christ is indeed broken. And another thing aside from that is the fact that it's broken doesn't mean that it ceases to be the body of Christ. I've talked about this a lot, where I've talked about the weeds and the wheats and a lot of other things, where I said there's good and bad growing together and it's the kingdom of heaven. Well, the fact that the body is broken doesn't mean that this is not Christ, or that it's not the body of Christ. In fact, when we look at the body of Christ himself and his physical person that was here present on earth, it was through his brokenness that he brought salvation to the world. It was through the suffering and the death and ultimately his resurrection that he was able to redeem humanity, forgive our sins, and by undergoing that passion, there's something mystical going on there. So when we look at the body of Christ, if it were perfect, well, for one, none of us would be allowed to be part of it because all of us are sinful. But aside from that, it couldn't be anything that really heals or anything that really connects us to that broken body of Christ which brought salvation into the world. It's through our brokenness that we're able to achieve salvation in an odd sort of way. St. Paul talks about this in scriptures. He talks about his weakness, and he says, it's in my weaknesses that I am actually strong. So he boasts of his weakness and that sort of a thing. And I think there's real power in that we can learn that even though we are broken doesn't mean that we don't have dignity, that we are not the body of Christ. It just simply means that we are that suffering body of Christ here on earth. And until the second coming, we're always going to be that suffering body of Christ. At the same time, it doesn't mean that we should just gloss over our sins and say, oh, well, we're all sinners, and therefore we don't need to repent of our sins or we don't need to strive to do better. I'm not encouraging that kind of an attitude at all. But I am kind of saying that there's a sense in which we should feel some kind of comfort noting that we ourselves are broken, and yet we can be members of this body of Christ because the body of Christ itself is broken. So it's not something that's above us or where we can't participate, but rather it's something we can fully participate in because we are broken like the body of Christ. And then, of course, we have this image of giving. And you see this clearly in the Mass, where the priest, who is what we say in persona Christi or in the person of Christ, so at the Eucharist, the priest is in the person of Christ Jesus. And he takes the bread, but then he gives it. He gives it to, usually in bigger parishes, to Eucharistic ministers, and the priest and himself will go out and distribute to the entire congregation. But the idea of this giving and understanding that it comes from Christ and we have received Christ, the priest acts in the person of Christ, and we receive Christ from the priest or from a Eucharistic minister who in turn received it from the priest who is in the person of Christ. And now we've received it, and we can go out into the world and give Christ to the world. And that's what we're really supposed to do. That's what the Mass is all about, is giving us the strength so that we can go out into the world and proclaim the kingdom of God. Of course, one of the big things, too, that always comes up with these readings is the whole idea of the miracle, how they started off with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and after this blessing, all of a sudden there's enough for them to feed everybody, the crowd of about 5,000, not counting the women and the children. And not only that, but they've got fragments left over. And one of the things that we can really see from this is how God, or how Jesus, can work with something that's very ordinary. He can actually work with something that's a deficit. 5 loaves and 2 fish for 5,000 people is a deficiency. And he can take any deficiency and turn it into a superabundance so that everybody is filled. And not only that, but there's leftovers. So it really should give us an image of how powerful God is and how willing God is to work with us, that even though we are this broken body of Christ, even though each of us is sinful and deficient in our own way, that doesn't mean that God can't work with us. In fact, this reading tells us just the opposite, that God can work with us, and he can take our deficiencies and turn them into a superabundance. So I think that's a real powerful image for us to think about as we go forward in this week and as we go into the Mass and think about these things. Not only the symbolism and the parallels of this reading to our own Mass, but also the way in which we can think about God working in our own lives and how he's worked with the deficiencies. And I'm sure all of us have our own stories we could share about times when we were really broken or we'd hit rock bottom or we thought we'd hit rock bottom. And all of a sudden we realized that Christ was there, and he took our pain, he took our brokenness, and worked with it. And through his working with that, he was able to turn it not only around into a positive, but to a situation where there's a superabundance, where there's an excess, and there's even leftovers. And I think that's one of the great things about our faith, is that we understand that we are broken, we understand our church is broken, but it doesn't mean that God can't work with us. It doesn't mean that we're beyond the help of God, because really ultimately we're never beyond that help of God. God's there to always reach out to us. And while I am without the help of Dawn, I hope that I will have her help next week, and hopefully the grace of God gave me something insightful to say to all of you this week. And I hope you'll join me next week, and Dawn will be back next week as well on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.